The following message comes from Panera Bread. Looking for something fresh and filling? Panera's new warm grain bowls are full of flavorful ingredients like hearty quinoa, spicy salsa verde, and creamy avocado. Full of good, so you'll be full of good too. Try a new Baja or Mediterranean warm grain bowl, now available for delivery. Panera, food as it should be.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. While we were sweating in the heat of August, recession fears sent a chill down Wall Street with several broad market sell-offs. But now stocks are approaching new records. So which way is the wind blowing on Wall Street? We'll check in with a Journal Markets reporter in a moment. First, some money and market news you should know. American households' net worth, including retirement accounts, grew an average 1.5% in the second quarter. The Federal Reserve says that was largely due to a rise in value of corporate stocks and bonds. But Americans are also borrowing more and saving less. The Fed says household debt grew at the strongest pace since the end of 2017, and savings as a percentage of disposable personal income dipped 0.5%. And tomatoes imported from Mexico may soon cost you more. Mexican tomato farmers signed a deal this week with the Commerce Department requiring inspections of round, Roma, and bulk grape tomatoes on the border. U.S. retailers and importers are pushing back, saying this could lead to transportation delays and more spoilage, which could mean higher costs and less ripe produce. Usually it takes about 7 days for tomatoes to get from Mexican greenhouses to U.S. produce sections. The Commerce Department says the inspections are necessary to prevent low-quality Mexican tomatoes from flooding the market. Tomato importers say Florida-based growers have pushed for advantages over Mexican competitors.
Ken Burns. It's a name that's become synonymous with documentary filmmaking. He's a master of his craft, a timeless storyteller. And now he's featured on That Made All the Difference, a new podcast from Bank of America. Join host Alicia Burke as she talks to achievers about the moments that inspired them to make an impact. Their stories might just inspire you too. What would you like the power to do? You can find That Made All the Difference anywhere you get your podcasts.
In August, recession fears on Wall Street sent stocks tumbling. Just a month later, the Dow and S&P 500 are nearing record levels. So what has wiped away investors' fears, and how long is this current dose of optimism on Wall Street likely to last? Let's ask Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani. So Akani, the S&P 500 is about 1% away from hitting a fresh record. Stocks in sectors like banking that took big hits in August have roared back. Some big banks have tripled the S&P's gains. Have people you spoke with on Wall Street say that recession fears over the summer were just simply overblown?
It depends a little bit who you ask. There are definitely pessimists out there who are still very concerned about what's going on with trade, the global economy, even the Fed. And they would say, you know, I don't think that recession fears have gone away. But I do think the moves that we've seen in the market sort of suggest that actually there are a decent number of folks out there who do believe that there was too much pessimism in August. And so we're not completely optimistic about the state of the global economy. We're just sort of pulling back on overly pessimistic bets that we saw last month.
What sort of moves would telegraph to you that recession fears have eased?
So for one, we've seen a reversal in bond yields. They took a big hit in August, and that typically indicates that people are starting to feel a lot more worried about the economic outlook. But we've seen the 10-year Treasury yield actually rise above 1.9% at one point in September. And at one point, it was heading for its biggest one-month gain in a number of years. We've also seen cyclical stocks, which tend to benefit from a pickup in economic activity, rise and lead this rally this month. So things like bank stocks, some industrial stocks even have been doing well, even though there's a lot of uncertainty about trade. So those are typically things that suggest to us that people actually do feel a little bit more confident compared to what we were seeing in August.
Now, you mentioned trade, and those trade fears and tensions have cast a big shadow, and they've triggered big swings in the market, both up and down this year. How much has this planned October meeting between U.S. and Chinese trade officials in Washington played a role in calming Wall Street's nerves?
I think it's erased a little bit of the overly pessimistic ammunition out there. I mean, the fact that we haven't seen a total cancellation of talks again is a little bit of a buffer, right? I mean, I don't think there are folks who believe that this October meeting is necessarily going to lead to a conclusive agreement on things like intellectual property and on things like farm products, for instance. But I do think what people are more looking out for is signs of the negative. So signs that there's going to be no meeting at all or that we're going to cancel everything.
So Wall Street just sees progress as progress. As long as everybody smiles and shake hands, they're not looking for dotted lines to be signed, but just look like you like each other and sit down in the room and at least talk about the things that have been separating the two countries for a good amount of time.
You know, once upon a time, that might have seemed like an incredibly low bar. But I mean, we remember at the start of the year, people were saying, oh, there's probably going to be a trade deal finalized by the summer. Well, that clearly is not happening anymore. So I think expectations have been reduced accordingly. And I think as long as we're not seeing a total dismantling of progress, that's almost a positive these days.
You know, investors you speak with say that while fears of markets edging toward a cliff have subsided, they don't foresee huge rallies in the near future either.
And I think that speaks to this tricky situation that we're in, where, again, the expectations are so low for a conclusive U.S.-China trade deal that it doesn't really make sense to pour a ton of money into the stock market at this point. At least that's what a lot of investors have been telling me. And it also sort of reflects the fact that growth in the U.S. certainly looks better than growth in Europe and a lot of Asia. But we're not expecting to see 3% growth again in the second quarter. In fact, the estimates for Friday's GDP reading are more looking like around 2%. So that suggests we have a solid economy, but we're not racing higher.
And when you watch the markets go up and down, you watch your 401k go up and down, what we have seen from experience is that whether the economy and GDP edges higher or lower, Wall Street just doesn't like surprises.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense because it makes it difficult for investors to position their money for the long term. If we're not sure if there's going to be a recession next year or the year after or even the year after that, we're not totally sure. Should we be allocating more of our money into the U.S. market yet, or is it a little bit late in the game for that? So I think that's why some of this uncertainty is still hanging over the markets these days.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Akani Otani joining us here in our studio. Akani, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.